بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين محمد رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. فما بعد، I just returned this morning from Dubai and after a very nice trip, alhamdulillah. One of the highlight of the trip perhaps was my very dear and old friend Taimur took me to see a colony of flamingos in the mangrove forests, which are in the middle of Dubai. And the interesting thing is that these flamingos, I think like a lot of people who live in Dubai, have decided that they don't want to leave Dubai. And though they are migratory normally, they stay there. And the reason they stay there is because they are fed. So the government feeds them on a regular basis. And when I went there, when we with Taimur and myself and Munawar Bhai went there, there would have been probably 1,000 of them. And amazing. I will ask Umair to post one or two short videos that I took there. Subhanallah, ajeeb, the khudrat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, their coloring, the pink legs, their funny beaks, their the way they sort of march together, the way they stamp with their feet in the slush which throws up the crustaceans and the small marine creatures that they eat, the way they do that with their beaks, very similar to what baleen whales do, where they filter the water through. Absolutely, subhanAllah, it's, and to see all that in the middle of Dubai, which is, you know, characterized by enormous buildings, fantastic architecture, I mean, it's like out of this world. You see the buildings and so on. I'm not very fond of concrete jungles, and they literally drain my energy, but if I wanted to go to a place where the energy would be drained, but at least I'd be looking at something nice, that would be Dubai. So the I came back from there. Now the whole point of saying this is to and why it must be in the Fajr reminder is the issue of spending money. Now one of the things that the UAE is doing very successfully is putting a lot of money into technology. It's probably one of the most technologically advanced countries in the world, far ahead of America, for example. In the use of this technology, there is a there's an app that you can download on the phone, which is about Dubai. And in this app, you can do anything from paying all your bills on the app itself, you know, your electricity, utility bills and everything else, to paying toll, road toll, to checking out the rating of schools, if you want to admit your children into schools, to obviously searching for all kinds of things in Dubai. It's a very user-friendly app, and it's available free. It's a free download, and it enables you to interact with the city, with the government, with your suppliers, and so on and so forth in an extremely efficient and an extremely smooth way. So that's one way, you know, one place where you see technology being used and being put to work. Going forward, Dubai is into the space program. They have a space program. They have, by 2020, they are going to make air taxis common. They're going to make them, they've tested them out. You go and sit in one. At the moment, it's a large drone. Two people can sit in it. There's a console. You punch in your GPS coordinates for the address, and it takes off and takes you there. Now, whether you want to go and sit in a drone just like that and punch in the stuff, you might say, well, you know, I'm not doing that. But believe me, a time will come when everyone will do it. This is just a matter of getting used to the technology. They are going in for self-driving cars in a very big way. In certain parts of Dubai, so you will be able to drive to that point, but beyond that you can't take your car. You will use one of the self-driving cars. So there's a huge amount of technology that is being put into the place. Again, the reason for saying this, obviously this is good work and one must appreciate that. But the reason is to think about the issue of investing money. I'm not talking about anything else. I'm talking about investing cash, putting your money where your mouth is, in things that are good for you, in things that you believe will benefit you. Which brings us to the issue of investing in our akhirah. Take this morning, another friend of mine sent me a video on WhatsApp where this person says, sadaqah does not necessarily mean or doesn't have to mean that you put your hand in your pocket and take out money and spend in the path of Allah. Sadaqah can be making dua for the person. Sadaqah can be teaching people knowledge that they do not have. Sadaqah is a smile and so on and so forth. No quarrel with any of that. Yes, it is. But the question is, what kind of sadaqah, what kind of spending is required in which place? So if there is a person who needs medical treatment in hospital, he does not have the money to pay for medical treatment, and if you go there and you give him this brilliant smile, you know, all 32 teeth of yours showing, including the molars, do you think that's sadaqah? Especially if you have the money to help that person. And you need not have all the money, just give him $10, right? Give him 100 rupees. You have that much. But instead of that, you say, well, I'm going to smile at him. Or you go and say, well, you know, my brother, I'm going to make dua for you. Right? Now think about this. Rasulullah ﷺ was raising funds for Tabuk. So different people came, and we have various stories of who came and who gave what and so on and so forth. Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu gave everything he had. Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu gave half his wealth. Other people gave whatever they could give and so on and so on. But finally, when Uthman bin Affan radiallahu anhu came and he started giving, he sponsored troops with all the accoutrements and all the armaments. And then he brought gold, dinars, and he poured them into Rasulullah's cloak in his lap. And finally, Rasulullah said, nothing can harm Uthman after this. Now, my point is, Rasulullah did not say that to anybody else. He said it to Uthman ibn Affan radiallahu anhu. And he said it after Uthman ibn Affan radiallahu anhu brought gold and spent in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He didn't say, Ya Rasulullah, I'm going to make dua for you. He didn't say, Ya Rasulullah, here's my smile. He said, Ya Rasulullah, here is the gold. My brothers and sisters, there's a difference between the sincere cry from the heart of those who don't have wealth, but believe in the outcome, and they ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for it in the depths of the night. There's a difference between that person and someone who has wealth, won't spend it in the path of Allah because he loves his wealth, but says, my dua is with you. Now, if I responded to that, which I wouldn't really waste my time doing, but if I did, I would say, keep your dua, because you needed more to answer to Allah when you meet him about why you didn't spend what he gave you in trust in his path when the need was brought to your attention. Now, do think about this, right? Let us not put ourselves in a position where shaitan uses knowledge in order to prevent us from doing what we need to do. Because when we think about our deen and we think about what is happening to us today, the issue is with lack of action. We just went through our elections here in Telangana. Percentage of voters, 46%. Muslims were a fraction of that. Yet we will sit and moan and groan about the government and how the government is bad and this and that, and we need to get this government out and we must get a good government in. Now tell me, in a democracy, what way do you have other than voting, which is legal and which works, to take one government out and bring back another government or bring in another government? So if you won't vote, then what right do you have to complain? And in the same Hyderabad, same Telangana, 46% of people went to vote on a day which was declared a public paid holiday. But when IKEA opened, 200% people went there. And they ran to IKEA like they are starving, like starving people run or starving animals run when food is brought forward. No dignity, no nothing. It's a, the IKEA behavior video is a joke. Every time I go anywhere, people tell me, "Tumhare Hyderabad mein kya hai yaar? Aisa kahi ko bhag rahe? Bhookon ke aisa IKEA ke andar?" Bolke dikhate mere ko. I'm not going to translate that. This is for the Hyderabadis. So seriously, think about this and say that what has happened to our action? Islam is a religion of action. Islam is not a religion of talking, right? So when action is needed and you don't want to act, and when your money, which you love, which is sitting in your heart, you don't want to spend that, and you want to fool yourself by saying, "Well, you know, I'm making dua," then please understand, this is not a simple matter. Then you will answer to Allah for this. Because if you really are interested in changing your future, if you are really interested in changing the future of the Ummah, believe me, you and I have to put our effort and we have to put our money where our mouth is. Keeping the money in the pocket and making dua is totally useless. There is no dalil for this in the deen. The Sahaba did not do that. Rasulullah ﷺ did not do that. And if you think that you are going to do that and it will benefit you, well, inshallah, if Allah wants to give you a reward, I've got no objection. But I'm just telling you what I'm thinking. Now, finally, I always remember my very dear friend, Jamil Bhai, Jamil Khan Sahab, who passed away. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala fill his qabr with noor and may Allah forgive his sins. He used to always say this. He used to say, "Jeb Musalman karna bolte hai mere ko." Mere ko bolte the, "Jeb Musalman karna sahab." Jab tak jeb Musalman nahi hua, ye baatan karke koi fayda nahi. He used to say, "The pocket has to be made Muslim. The pocket must become a Musalman," which means the heart must change. Money must come out of the heart, and money must be given and spent in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he would say, until your jeb, until your pocket becomes Muslim, nothing will happen, your life will not change. And I completely and totally agree with him. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive him and reward him. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive us and to enable us to do what needs to be done, to take action, to spend money, to spend time in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and not use laziness masquerading as dua, laziness and stinginess masquerading as dua, to say, "I'm going to make dua." May Allah forgive us, and may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala not hold us accountable for these kinds of hypocritical stances that we take. وَصَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَى نَبِيِّ الْكَرِيمِ وَعَلَى آلِهِ وَصَحْبِهِ أَجْمَعِينَ بِرَحْمَتِكَ يَا أَرْحَمَ الرَّاحِمِينَ.